Are you tired of feeling burned out? I know I used to feel burned out all the time, and then I discovered some tips, tools, and strategies to go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I will be sharing them on this show, as well as interviewing experts that are going to help you transform from exhausted to energized and stressed out to serene. If you're ready to break free from the burnout for good, let's jump into the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. My name is Rebecca Whitman. I'm your host, helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And today we have a dear friend of mine and someone that I've known now for 5 years. Wow. Welcome to the show, Jessica Perez Beebe.
Thank you, Rebecca. I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
So great you're here. I had so much fun speaking on your summit that I wanted to continue the awesome connection here on my show. And it's just perfect timing because you've just come out with your book, The North Star Method. Congratulations.
Thank you so very much. And thank you for giving me, you know, an opportunity to come and talk about it because it's such an exciting, you know, thing when somebody puts out their first book, right? Anyone out there who's written a book or has a book on their heart, it is, you know, just an exciting moment. So it launched a couple weeks ago and it's doing really well. It hit number one in journaling and bestseller in healthy living and self-help, spiritual self-help. And so we've got a lot of that to talk about, but also I'm just happy to be here and answer any questions that can support your audience.
Amazing. Well, let me tell my audience about your illustrious background. So Jessica Perez Beebe is a number one best-selling author of the book she just described, The North Star Method, which is a transformative guide praised for blending spiritual wisdom and practical strategies to help people achieve their vision. And she's had over 2 decades as an entrepreneur and a transformational coach. She has built 4 companies from the ground up and now leads a multi-million-dollar sales team for a top online coaching company. She is known for her no-nonsense approach. She is balanced and warm and relatable and inspires her clients to reach high-performance results without the burnout. In her downtime, Jessica enjoys cooking, reading, writing, painting, and spending time with her husband, 2 kids, and their beloved poodle, but she forgot to say she's a fitness competitor because when I met you, Jessica, you were coaching a leadership program that I was in and it was crazy 16-hour days.
Yes.
And I was just blown away by your discipline to train and follow
yes.
your meal plan and all the stuff. So you have been just disciplined your whole life.
Well, not my whole life, but
tell us your story. Let's start with that. Right. Tell us your story. How did you get to be doing what you're doing?
It's so funny though. I love that you share that because you're right. I completely like forgot that when we met, right? It was in that container of those intense hours. And I was literally 2, 3 in the morning, you know, going to the gym instead of hitting the bed and eating my, you know, pre-portioned meals and all of that. But that's what it takes in that sport of bodybuilding. So yes, I am also a pro bikini bodybuilding athlete in the biggest bodybuilding organization in the world, the IFBB, for anyone out there who is a gym geek. But no, I was not always that disciplined. I think I was destined to be, but I grew up, you know, like maybe so many people who end up taking a more structured path. I grew up with like not much discipline, right? Or not many boundaries, not just, you know, super loving family, but also a lot of chaos. Single mom, very, very struggling, you know, financially and all of that. So it's interesting, you know, the path that I took.
You were a single mom or you were raised by a single mom?
I was raised by a single mom. My brother and I, she was 17 when she had me. So a young single wow. mom. And, you know, we lived in low income housing. We moved around a lot. So we, you know, we were exposed to all of the things that you could imagine we were exposed to. And so there was a lot of instability. and things like that. And I think a lot of that drove what is already probably natural in me. It's like that nature and nurture thing, right? If you got a little bit of the nature, then whatever happens in your, when you're being brought up is going to impact one way or the other. So I think that's kind of what led me on the path to seeking structure and control, to be honest, and regimen. And, you know, that kind of made me feel safe for a long time. And I always say, you know, there's no shame in what birthed your drive and your ambition. You know, that's just part of it. It is part of our journey. As we get older and, you know, we do more personal development and healing and, you know, all of that. And we seek to grow spiritually, not just with achievements, right? And I actually talk about that in my book. You know, what happens is we're able to evolve, and set different boundaries and maybe still be, definitely still be ambitious, but for different reasons, right? More intrinsic and more, just more intentional without the need for the external validation and all of those things. And at the same time, you know, it's just part of the process. So yeah.
So how did you go from growing up, you know, in a lower income family to being a transformational coach and a best-selling author? Like what was the journey like? I know we don't have time to go through every step of the journey, but what was the journey like?
You know, there's a little bit of this that feels a little bit woo-woo and esoteric. And then there's another part of it that is very strategic and, you know, thought out. And so, and what I mean by that is I can remember at a young age, just literally saying to myself and feeling like I am not supposed to be in this environment forever. Like this is like, there was just something about me that felt like there's something different for me. Right. And people who are listening, probably there's so many women and men, right, who have that feeling, right? Like you're just meant for more. You're supposed to be doing something different. And you feel different maybe than everyone around you. So I always had this drive and curiosity, about what was outside of my environment. And so when I was, old enough to recognize some of the things that could help me get out of that environment, that's really what I started to focus on, right? Like really academics and things like that. I was the first person in my family to graduate high school. So you can that's a huge thing, right? You don't think of that here in the US. Even though everyone in my family is very smart and very creative and very, but, you know, I was first generation in this country, although Puerto Rico is a part of this country, but my parents were born in Puerto Rico and, you know, so I was the first kind of Americanized, you know.
So where were you raised? What part of America?
I was raised here. No. So I was, that's what I mean. I was kind of like the first generation here.
Where are you from?
I'm from Wilmington, Delaware. That's where I'm born and raised. And my family is all natives of Puerto Rico. And most of them have all been here, you know, since they were teenagers. Well, my mom and, you know, my grandparents came as adults. But so, you know, I think, like I said, there was just kind of a knowingness inside. And I followed that feeling. You know, I followed that feeling. I followed that calling. I remember many moments and like two or three very distinct times in my life where I could almost would remove myself from the circumstances that were going on. And I could look down and I could see it and I could really feel detached almost. And I just knew that I was just here for a time and that this wasn't going to be the circumstance, because there was a lot of, you know, really tough circumstances. And so there was something that just kept me wanting better and wanting more. And then I just really sought that out. And then, you know, to give credit where credit's due, I had people who noticed that in me. Right. And so I think, you know, women, men, all of you who are listening, and women especially, that's our demographic of audience. Like, think about the people that made a difference in your life and to me, one of the biggest ways that you can return that is to go out and be a mentor and an inspiration for others, right? Because I think about those people, whether it was, you know, an aunt in my family who was able to provide some kind of security, sometimes when I didn't have it at home, or a teacher in middle school who noticed the curiosity and all of that in me, and really started to nurture that in me. And so I ended up getting a full scholarship to a private, you know, all girls prestigious high school. And that really changed everything for me because I just got exposed to a different culture and different opportunities. And then it just kind of went from there, you know, just taking opportunities and seeking them out, right? Seeking them out and then taking them when they were in front of me. But, you know, lots of bumps and bruises along the way.
Were you always an entrepreneur? Or did you start in corporate America and switch? Like, how did you find the world of coaching?
Yeah, great question. So it's funny, people in my family tell me I was always an entrepreneur. They're like, you know, in high school, remember you used to sell us Avon and things like that. And like, I never thought of that. So for a while there, I don't know how long, but I always thought, wow, I could work for myself. I could be an entrepreneur, but I had zero models of an entrepreneur. So I didn't even know what that meant. I had all of these weird fears with money because money was like, you know, really like taboo for our, you know, like it's like other people have money, we don't. So I would have these dreams and visions and ideas knowing that I could do that, but I never had the confidence to pursue it. And until, and I actually write about that in chapter 3 of my book, which is when everything changed for me. I was just turning 27. I was 26, just turning 27. My mother had just turned 45 a few weeks prior, and she was killed instantly in a car accident.
Oh my God, I had no idea.
Yeah, so at that time, I was working in a quote unquote corporate world, just for about a year. And I was flying to France. I was, you know, kind of, you know, everybody in my family, you know, like, wow, you've made it. You've got a great job with benefits, all of that. I hated the job. I hated my boss. I wasn't even really great at the job. But again, I never felt, I didn't know how to just go out and be an entrepreneur, you know? So that was a huge wake up call for me. I mean, literally, when I showed, I had just come home the night before from a work event in Florida, and my aunt called me to her house. And this was my one of my mom's younger sisters who I was really close to. And she's the one who told me. And it had just happened that morning. And as you can imagine, it was just shocking and life changing. But I remember being like going into her bathroom and, you know, just being in a ball on the floor. And I remember distinctly like this, it wasn't an audible voice, but it was a voice in my head that said, life is now. You know, my company is called Live Now. And it just woke me up in such a way that I can only give that glory to my mom, to God. You know, like I don't know if I would have ever pursued my dreams if that, maybe I would have, maybe it would have taken longer, but it was an instant reality check that, wow, I don't have more time. Like if I'm going to take these chances, I got to do them now, because my mom wanted to be a writer. My mom wanted to do all these things, and she never felt ready. She never felt worthy enough. And she took all her dreams with her to the grave. And I just said, that's not going to be my mom's legacy, you know? And so that changed everything. And that was, I quit and put myself through massage school, started a local massage business, traveling like sports massage company. That was my first business at 27. And then I built 3 more companies from there and sold a company. And now
your other businesses?
I had a personal training studio and then a local gym that we grew 3 times and into another location. I sold that. And then I have my online coaching company as well. So yeah.
And now this has been a big year for you because not only did you reach your first best-selling book, you also purchased your dream house.
Yeah, well, it's like the second dream house, right? Yeah, so I thought we had our dream house and we were living about 10 years kind of location independent. So we were overseas, we were, you know, living out all the things that I had wanted to live out, and it's been great. And so we just recently, what you're speaking about is our returning to our hometown. And so we settled in our new house in our hometown of Wilmington, Delaware, to be closer to our family. So we've gone and done all of that. We had what we thought was our dream house in Washington State, surrounded by all the greenery and all that. And it's been great out there and we love it there. But my heart's been calling me back to my hometown to be with my family. And also because I'm really at the stage in my life where I want to give a lot and I want to give at my local community, like the community I grew up in. So that's really what's kind of next for me. There's a couple more books coming. There's just philanthropy. There's, you know, a lot of that, probably a local business coming in the next year, like another new brick and mortar business. Nice. So, yeah. So you know how it is. It's like when you keep your, and this is what I talk about in the North Star method, right? And so the subtitle is how vision can save you when goals fail you. And I really attribute this to how come like people ask me all the time, how did you create this transformation? I transformed my body. I was 25 pounds overweight. I used to be a smoker, a heavy drinker, like in my 20s, you know, nobody in my family was healthy. And then I got this.
Are you sober now?
Well, I was just like, I mean, I was just a drink, you know, like a 20-year-old. Yeah, I wasn't like a, you know, alcoholic or anything.
Right.
But, you know, every night, you know, hanging out at the bars, drinking bar food, you know, that type of thing. I worked in a restaurant, you know, that kind of. But I looked around and, you know, my grandparents had type 2 diabetes. Everybody was a smoker, you know, and I just said, I don't want that life for me. And just to give you guys like a quick snippet of the difference between being goal-driven and being vision-driven. When you are goal-driven, for instance, I could have set a goal to lose 20 pounds, which people do, right? They want to lose 10 pounds to fit in their wedding dress. After the awesome honeymoon, they gain 15 pounds, right? Rightfully so. They're having a good time. But when you have a vision, my vision really was about me living a long, healthy, vibrant life into my senior years. I had no attachments to numbers, weight, nothing like that. Like I didn't have any limits, right? Goals are very, they're limited, right? And they're time bound. And what I wanted was like, wow, I would, you know, I envisioned me, I thought then like 50 was like old. I'm going to be 50 in a year and a half, right? But into 60s, 70s and all of that, just being healthy and vibrant, et cetera, et cetera. Because of that being the vision, then I just started making decisions daily that match that vision, right? Like, well, what does that future Jessica at 70 who is doing yoga and is, you know, walking around in a bathing suit and feels, you know, like just
walking around in a bikini as a 70-year-old. I can
exactly, exactly. And like, what does she do? What does she choose right now? And so the vision just took a life of its own. I never at that time would have ever been like, oh, one day I want to be a professional physique athlete.
Are you tired of endless diets and frustrating results? I know I was, and I didn't want to count calories, count macros, and I definitely didn't want to jab myself in the stomach with a needle to get the benefits of GLP-1. I'm so grateful I discovered the Body Transformation System. I have been on this easy to follow supplement program for a month, and I cannot even believe it. I went from 25% to 17% body fat. I haven't been under 20% body fat in my entire adult life. What I love about this system is it's all natural. It helps you regulate appetite, boost your metabolism, and burn fat. No chemicals, no needles, no harsh stimulants, no side effects, just results. All you have to do is go to the show notes to grab your sample. I can't wait for you to get the same results that I'm getting. And let's get lean and strong together. See you back in the show.
I would have never in a million years thought you could even pay me to be like on stage doing something like that. And that's the power of a vision, is that it takes on a life of its own. It's not bound by your limited mind, which is how goals are set. And that's literally, I teach my three-step process because I've used it for everything, to transform my body, to transform my money with my relationship with money, right? Like, how do you go to running a million, you know, going in and taking over a sales team to get to $1 million a month, right? And making millions of dollars yourself in your own business. How do you get to that from, you know, growing up, you know, on food stamps and, you know, we're around people who didn't have that relationship with money. It's all in here. It's the same.
So what is your three-step method?
You got to get the book. But to break it down, the method, just broken down into little words, and it's deeper than this, is see it, clear it, be it. So the clear it in that second step is really critical. And it's the clearing out all of the clutter, the mental clutter, the limiting beliefs, the old beliefs. It's how do we clear that and replace it? And then how do we be the vision that we have for ourselves before we even have it? And it's like, if you read the reviews on this book, I mean, it's getting such amazing reviews, which is, you know, I envisioned that this book would be a book that would sit on people's, you know, nightstand, that it would be pulled out, you know, every month or year, like the books that I grew up reading, right? And so I even have a journal that goes with it. And you don't need the journal, you can do the writing prompts in here. But it's literally, people are writing the reviews exactly how I envisioned it, which gives another credit to the method. So it's a three-step method that I've used to achieve everything in life. I manifested my husband in 2 days.
Oh my God, you have to tell us that story. Let's hear about your love life story.
Pretty much this method distilled down into like two nights or to one night. I sat down, and now, of course, it was kind of building for months
of
the work, you know, that I do. But two days, was it the day before Thanksgiving? I went and visited my best friend. My mom had died the year prior, so Thanksgiving was like a big holiday in our family. So I went to spend it with her and her family. And about 2 hours south of where I'm raised, so down in the beach area, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And that night I sat up and I did all of this work, and I had decided about a month or so prior I wasn't going to date anymore in the meantime, right? Like, I just was, I had broken up with someone 6 months prior who was like an almost perfect. And it was one of those moments where it's like, wow, I have to break up with someone even though there's nothing wrong. Nothing's going wrong. But I knew it wasn't my forever person. And I decided, you know what? I don't want to casually date anymore. I don't want to, you know, be intimate with anyone. I literally am prepared to be single for 10 years. Until that person that fits this comes along. And what I want to say, because this is super important, because people talk about manifesting and law of attraction and they get it wrong. You can't just sit there and wish for something and say a bunch of affirmations. You know, a little bit of that is a part of it. But the work that I did was, in order for me to attract what I wanted in this person, I had to start being that. Because like attracts like. And so it was
attract who you are, not who you want.
That's exactly right. And so many people miss that, Rebecca, right? So I'm so glad you know that. Not surprised, but I did like a really crazy deep dive until like 2-3 in the morning, and I put it to the side, you know, and I was like, you know, I'm prepared, you know, for the next couple of years. I don't care. I don't need to date anyone. And on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, my best friend Liz and I, we were out shopping, doing the tree lighting. It was like 5:30 in the evening. We went into a little restaurant, sat at the bar, ordered a burger, and my husband walked in like 20 minutes later. And we closed down the place, and we've been together ever since. Yeah. We met at a place called the Summer House. And so now we have a boat called the Summer House.
So what happened when he walked in? Did you recognize him right away? Did he recognize
I was magnetically drawn to him. I did not think, oh, there's my, nothing like that. But I had such a physical, you know, like, I'm just like really drawn to him. And I didn't know why. I didn't put two and two together, even though we had a great night and I left and all of that. And like, I didn't put any of it together until like our second date. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is what this is. You know, so it was a really mad. And I'm so glad that my best friend was a part of it, because it's like, I'm not crazy. This happened, you know, she's, you know, was there for all of it. But it's not as that story is not just rare to me. You talk to people who live like this, who believe like this, and you'll hear these stories a lot. And that's why I want to get this book into people's hands, because it's so simple, right? It's a simple yet transformative three-step process. And what it's going to do is it's going to help you unlock your full potential. And you talk about getting out of the grind, right? How do you shift from the exhausting grind of the goal setting to-do list, right, to the liberating vision-driven approach that is not time-bound and has no limits and allows you to freaking enjoy life in the meantime, right? It's not when I get this or, you know, because it's the being, it's the process.
It's not right? that if only I could have this, then That's I'd be right. happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? How do you have big goals and dreams and enjoy the journey without getting caught up in the comparison? Oh, why does this person have what I want? And how do you do that?
That's literally all in here. Like, you know, it's if you... I teach you in here how to stop settling for small goals. Here's what happens. Most people set goals that they know they can achieve, right? Because you don't want to set something that you're not going to achieve, right? High achievers, at least, they will set goals that they know they can achieve. We have a lot of people who just set goals and never intend to go after them anyway, but a high achieving person, and I make the distinction in this book between a high achiever and a high performer. High achievers and most high performers start out that way. High achievers are driven externally, right? And we need to check the boxes and we need to have the to-do list to feel accomplished and we need it, right? But you end up just feeling empty. Nothing is enough, right? None of those accomplishments satisfy you. And there's always this empty feeling. And so why is that? And it's because it's those goals have never been connected to something bigger. Right. And so your North Star vision typically is going to be with you for the rest of your life. It doesn't mean it doesn't change or you don't, you know, it doesn't evolve, but it literally becomes the umbrella for everything else you set underneath it. So when you've got goals that are attached to a vision, that's a whole different story. Right. But the people who are burnt out and overwhelmed and either starting but not finishing, or yes, finishing, but at what expense, right? Their health, their right. relationships, just their fulfillment, right? The shift into vision, being vision driven, is really a spiritual shift. And it, in my experience, and I've taught this to hundreds one-on-one, and I've taught it to thousands in groups. I've gone into companies and taught this. I've taught it at one of the biggest MLM companies to help their reps really get connected to a vision for why they're there, not just, you know, selling and making dollars.
Which MLM?
Beauty Box.
Beauty Box
or Beauty Bar? Oh gosh, they're going to kill me.
I don't know.
The really big one. But they sell cosmetics and skincare, nice. All natural stuff online. It's one of the biggest MLMs out there. So it's basically, how do you simplify your focus, cut out all the other noise, you know, all that chatter, and create real sustainable progress in your life that is based on something that really matters to you for the longevity of your life, right? And when you have a North Star, you're going to know when you're getting off course. right? It's like in the book, I start with really, you know, there's a part in the book where, you know, I use the metaphor throughout the book of like, imagine your task is to climb to the top of a mountain, right? The trek is going to be long and dangerous. It will take multiple days. It will be the most challenging thing you have ever done. You have to climb this mountain alone. All you have is what you can carry on your back. To accomplish this task, you're going to need certain tools and gears. Some people try to accomplish this by focusing on small, immediate goals and spending all their energy focusing on what is right in front of them. These are goal-driven people, right? They're focused on what type of boots they wear, what brand or tent. They focus on how difficult the terrain is in front of them, and they obsess endlessly over which trail to take up the mountain, right? This is being goal-driven.
Right.
Then others set out to accomplish this monumental task by focusing on a big vision. They keep the vision at the forefront of their mind, and they use it to continually make steady progress up the mountain. They find the one thing to always guide them, no matter where they are. For them, the trail they take or the tent they use is only a means to the end, because their focus is their vision, which is reaching the top of the mountain. And it goes on, you know, it just kind of gives your viewers just kind of a little bit of a visual. The vision-driven person is going to get to the mountain no matter what they've got in their backpack, no matter what they lose along the way, right? And so it's about learning how to focus, how to zoom out and focus on what really matters versus what's right in front of you. Because when people make decisions on their present circumstances or the obstacles that are in front of them, they never make progress, right? They just stay stuck on what is, right? Well, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. This is too hard. When you're vision driven, the present circumstances do not matter.
So when someone feels snagged by their present circumstances, they have a big goal, but they're like, why is it not happening fast enough? Why is it happening for the other person?
Yes. Comparison.
Maybe I should just give up. How do you... Yes.
And they almost always give up.
Yeah. How do they get rerouted to be...
You got to go back to the beginning, right? And make sure that this is a... Think there's a part in my book where I take people through a really deep exercise of discovering if what you're pursuing is actually your vision. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people are out there pursuing something that was never their vision to begin with. It could have been their parents' vision. It could be, you know, somebody else in their life. It could be a coach's vision for them, right? You know, like, we're coaches. And so you see this a lot where when people don't have their own product, service, or whatever that really came from their heart and their vision, you'll see a lot of times people trying to replicate what other people are doing. And it never works out because it doesn't come from them, right? And so there's so many people trying to replicate other people's vision. And it just doesn't work, right? It's just pushing a boulder uphill. And you just keep falling backwards and you push again, right? It's like the constant working hard. When you work from a North Star vision, that's when even the hard shit gets easy, right? Like, it's just, even if it's hard, it feels easy because it feels real. It feels connected. It feels that you're not going to be, your whole life is not going to be over because some president is going to be president for 4 years. You know what I mean? Like, it's zoom out, people. See the bigger picture. You're not letting your happiness, your success, your worth, or anything be tied to anything external, anything outside of you or outside of that vision.
So on your Instagram, it says, achieve more by doing less.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yeah. So when you are goal-driven, you're typically that busy beaver, right? We have a quiz like, are you a 10X thinker or a burned out busy beaver? A lot of people are surprised that they are the burned out busy beaver, right? They're wearing that badge, you know, like that busy beaver, like a badge of honor. And most people are overwhelmed and burned out because they're doing a lot of stuff that doesn't actually matter. There's a great book out there. I'm sure you've read it. Your audience probably heard of it. Get it if you haven't. The War of Art, right? Stephen Pressfield talks about this. People get so focused on the busy work that they never do the important work. The important work to me is the stuff that's tied to your North Star vision, right? The important work is writing a chapter every day for the book that you say you want to put out, right? Or doing the things you need to do in your business to get that going. Or, you know, the important stuff is if your goal is to lose this amount of weight or to do whatever, right? You're actually prioritizing those things. You're not only doing it when you feel like it. But what happens is people get so caught up in the busy work, checking emails, washing clothes, doing all of these things that give you a false sense of accomplishment. And hear me on this, high achievers are really good at taking on a bunch of new things, saying yes to everything and to everyone because it makes you feel accomplished. It's not accomplishment unless you complete and you follow through with excellence, right? That's not accomplishing. It's just starting a bunch of stuff and never finishing, or starting a bunch of stuff and doing it, you know, very mediocrely. That's not a word.
I get what you mean. I think a lot of people, since we're both in the coaching space, they buy like 10 or 15 coaching programs and they start, but they don't finish. Like, it sounds good at the time, but so you're saying to be a finisher, successful people are not just starters, they're finishers.
Imagine how, absolutely. And that's something one of my mentors, Shanda, talks about all the time is finishing. But like, I think about it with my professional sport of bodybuilding, right?
Like, I'm so glad you brought that up because yes. Before we end this, you know, I want to know all the fitness and nutrition tips it took to get you in that kind of crazy shape.
It's going to be so different than what people think for the most part. But with that, the thing is like, that's not a good, people will try and do things like that as a bucket list thing. But like, that's okay, it's not healthy to do something like that. It's not healthy to do any extreme sport just as a bucket list thing, right? It's got to be a part of your lifestyle. Anything that you do to an extreme, like for one, it's not healthy, but it also speaks to what we're talking about, you know, doing things that aren't connected. Like I didn't just decide to do this as a bucket list thing. It just fell into me because of the way that I was living and this was my lifestyle. And then it just was like, oh, you know, this is what I'm doing every day anyway. And people are telling me I could be really competitive in this. Great. I would be training and doing these things like this anyway. You know what I mean? Like, it's my lifestyle. It's part of my vision. It makes me feel good. I don't feel deprived. Now, yes, any kind of sport, when you're getting down to the wire, you're depriving yourself of some things. That's literally, you're sacrificing for what you want. That's going to be like that with anything. You're delaying gratification for the actual thing that you're going for, right? Whether it's a business or whatever, right? You're not spending all that money so that you have it for the thing that you need. So it's the same thing when you're dieting and training and all of that. And because it's my vision, I'm not, when we're 16 hours coaching in the training room, I'm not then saying, well, I'm going to go to bed and not train. No, yes, it's not convenient. Yes, it doesn't feel great. However, this is what I mean by when you're vision driven, the hard shit is easy. Yeah, it's hard. It doesn't matter. It's easy for me to do hard things when it's connected to my vision. It's not easy for me to do hard things if I could care less about it, right? Like, and that's why I say it's got to be your vision. There's very few people who are going to want to do the type of stuff that I do when it comes to bodybuilding. It's not part of their vision. Why would they do that to themselves? You know? Right. So that's why I say to people, you don't really want to know my training regimen and my dieting because it's not going to match what you're willing to do because your vision is different, right? You know what I mean? So does that make sense?
Yeah, but I just, for the average woman who is a high performer, doesn't want to be a professional bodybuilder, yeah. Do you have any good nutrition or fitness tips?
Yep. And it's, you guys, it's not going to be what you think.
Okay,
for
tell us.
Fitness, find something you like to do. Mm-hmm. That's it. Anything can work. If all you care about is general fitness, you want to be doing something that gets you sweating a little, right? So that you're getting a healthy heart, and you want to do some resistance training, which is super important. Women, do not skip resistance training. You don't have to lift heavy like a bodybuilder, but you do need to do resistance training because it helps you preserve muscle. It's the thing that gives women all of the curves, that what they call toning. That's from muscle. You don't get it unless you have muscle. And it keeps you strong, keeps your bones strong. So very simple. You can do that if you want to jump on a trampoline all day. You can do that in a dance class, right? And then just pick up some light weights. You don't have to be extreme, but you do have to do something. I always say do something you like, because you'll keep going back to it even on days where it's like, oh, you know, I'm tired. At least it's something you like. I just gave one of my friends this advice because she used to be a dancer. And she's like, oh my God, I just can't with the gym anymore. I'm like, go take a dance class. She's like, oh my God, I didn't even think of that. You know, so sometimes it's just something that simple. In terms of food and diet, do not get caught up in all of these extreme diets of has to be paleo, has to be vegan, has to be this, that, or the other. I hate to tell you this, but when it comes to just pure weight, it's calories in and calories out. It really, now, when it comes to other things, you are going to have to pay attention to your body. We're not all the same. So how you digest proteins and how you digest carbs, different things like that. If you've got poor gut health, none of those diets are really going to work for you in the long term. The only reason a paleo diet works for people is because they're eliminating an entire macronutrient. They're not eating any carbs, right? The only reason that the all-fat diet works is because they're eliminating, well, that's like paleo, they're eliminating all the carbs. And it's on the flip side, when people eliminate all fat, they're just eliminating, and you don't need to do that. You can eat everything. You need fats, proteins, carbs. And if you love to be vegetarian, just make sure you're getting, proteins, fat, and carbs. If you love to eat meat, you still need to get carbs. So it's not anything extreme. It really isn't. It's just, yeah, find what works.
When you were training to be a professional bodybuilder, did you lift heavy?
Yes. I lift heavy for a good part of the year, like the off season. Mm-hmm. And then when we get closer to what we call our prep season, which can be anywhere from like 8 to 16 weeks, we're not lifting as heavy. We're doing more higher volume and things like that. And that's, it changes with each athlete, because with bodybuilding, it's all based on the person and you're trying to get symmetry. So some people hold more weight up here, some more at the bottom. And so it really just depends. There's professional bodybuilders who are vegetarian, not a ton, but there are. And I say not a ton just because I think it's just the culture of bodybuilding is bodybuilders like meat. Yeah. Doesn't mean you can't do it without it. You certainly can. And so a lot of it comes down to, honestly, the way most of our food is so processed and has so many pesticides. That's a lot of what you've got to be really mindful of. And so I like to do elimination diets here and there just to see if anything's irritating me. When I'm in prep season, I stick to like the carbs and the proteins that I know work for me, because I know there's stuff that I eat that causes me to be more bloated and more lethargic. If I want to have them, I'll have them. I just know the price I'm paying, but I'm not going to have them when I'm, in competition mode.
Yeah, I saw your Instagram where you were drinking a Diet Coke. You're like, sometimes I, like to be a human and have a Diet Coke, right?
Yes, especially when I'm in prep mode, when you're like removing everything. It's like, ooh, just to have a little of that. And guess what, people? I'm not drinking it. I know it's not anything healthy, but you've got to have some kind of quote unquote, like normalcy, like whatever it is for you. Right. Like, so yeah.
So what would be a typical day of eating during your pre-bodybuilding competition?
5 to 6 meals a day. Mm-hmm. A lot more food than people think, but it's always weighed and measured. And the reason why, people think that's really crazy, but the reason why, and this is the same with anything in life, including your bank account. If you are not measuring it, you are typically overestimating or underestimating. And it's the same thing with food. And so that's why this is very specific to bodybuilding. All sports are not like that. You know what I mean? It's not the case. In endurance sports, they are just eating a lot of carbs and protein and fat, right? They're eating a lot because they're burning a tremendous amount. And they're not having to maintain as much muscle, right? So it's all sports are different. So for mine, you know, So I would be eating 5 to 6 meals a day. When I'm in my off season, I stick to like 4 meals a day. I just spread them out a little more. And because I've had years of experience, I know what foods work for me and what foods don't. But a lot of that is trial and error. And your body changes, right? Like I can hardly eat chicken. But in the beginning of my bodybuilding career, I ate a lot of it. Well, guess what happens when you eat a lot of the same food? You can develop a tolerance, intolerance.
Yeah.
That's why you should mix foods a lot, you know, get a variety. So little things like that. My body processes carbohydrates really well because of my metabolism. And so I can get away with some more than like another girlfriend of mine who is a competitor. You know, she can get away with a lot more fats and less carbohydrates, but we still do balanced, right? And it's still, hate to tell you, it's calories in, calories out. In terms of weight, obviously, right, you don't want calories in and calories out on a diet of ice cream every day. Because, I mean, you're going to have, what, 2 meals? Right. No vitamins, no micronutrients. So, you know, it's common sense.
So yeah. Do you think you'll ever go back to that sport and train for another bodybuilder?
I'm still in the sport. I'm just in an extended off season.
Okay. You're focused on your book. And
it's been a lot, yes, because yeah. You know, we've been moving from, you know, state to state and like business stuff. And so I had to be realistic and, you know, I'm 48 and a half now. So it's not as easy to just juggle it all. Like I started going through some premenopausal things. So we had to shift and do some hormone stuff. And so now I'm getting back to, but I had like a year and a half there where it was like nothing was working. And by the way, women, that's part of the transition. You know, yeah. Some of us are going to start it a little younger. Some are going to start a little older. And you've got to change. So that's the thing. I don't freak out. I'm like, you know, for the last year and a half, I kept an extra 10 pounds, 12 pounds of weight on me with going through those changes. I had to work out less. I had to sleep more. I had, you know, and guess what? It all helped. So get educated, connect with other people. Like I work with a hormone doctor and, you know, stuff like that. And just don't buy into all the shit you see on social media with all these, anything that's telling you all this food is bad and all that food is bad is wrong.
Yeah.
Like it just is. It's just ridiculous.
Well, Jessica, this has been an amazing, I could talk to you all day.
We touched on a million things.
I know. We touched on a lot because you're so interesting and you have such a diverse background. And I really love that you've been a rags to riches story. I mean, you're living the American dream. It's so inspirational. I know my audience is going to want to find you online and stay in touch. So how can people stay in touch?
Yes. So I just dropped a link for any, well, this chat or no, that's,
we'll put it in the show notes. We'll put it in the show notes. So just send it to me.
Great. Yeah. So I'll drop the link to my book. And also on Instagram is like my favorite social at Jessica Perez BB. And also Facebook, Jessica Perez BB. I think it's like Coach My Mindset on Facebook. My website, jessicaperezbb.com. I've got a quiz. I'll send you all that stuff if you're able to put it in the comments and in the show notes. And I'll share this as well so more people can see what you're doing, because you're going to be putting this on one of your shows, right? Another show?
Yeah. So not only is this a podcast, everyone, I'm now on the Everyday Woman's TV Network. So this will also be a part of the Everyday Woman's TV Network. So thank you so much, Jessica, for being
an amazing
guest. And thank you, listeners, for sharing the show, rating, reviewing, keeping this message going that you don't have to live life burned out. You can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. So if you haven't left a 5-star review, go ahead and do that. Share this episode with a friend, grab her book. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to another amazing episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I hope you found great advice and actionable tips. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. And if you loved it, rate, review, and subscribe. We are so excited to watch you transform from burned out to blissed out as you continue with us on this transformation journey. Until next time, keep your vibe high and magnetize. Imagine looking back at the end of 2025 and saying the best decision I ever made in the entire year was going to the Mindset Manifestation Retreat in Playa del Carmen, Mexico with Rebecca. Not only will we set intentions, goals, and strategies for your new year, we will give you 21 customized affirmations, a vision board, a power word, a playlist, and every tool you need to get all 7 pillars of your life to a level 10 and to crush your goals in 2025. In addition to all the goal setting and masterminding, you'll get to relax in a luxury spa, do yoga, and have a sound bath, all at a beautiful retreat in amazing Playa del Carmen, Mexico. And if you can't make it all the way to Mexico, which I know you want to do, and I can't wait to see you in Mexico, I'm having a little mini version of that on December 29th. It is a free training I do every year for my community called the New Year, New You Workshop, where you will get 21 customized affirmations to make sure that 2025 is your best year ever. Go to the show notes to learn more. I'll see you at the retreat.